Well, Merry Christmas. I said that to somebody the other day, and they said, well, what if I'm not Christian? You know, we're supposed to be politically correct and say happy holidays, which I did for a very, very long time. And then I realized that that offended the unhappy people. So you're going to offend somebody no matter what you say. So what I've decided is that I'm wishing you a blessing from my spiritual faith. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to say, you know, because I've got a very good friend who's Jewish, I'm not saying happy Hanukkah to him. You know, I do, of course, but not to everybody, because this is my faith. And what I was raised in was Christian anyway. And that's what I want to talk about. We're getting ready to have Christmas. And about 6 months ago, I did a series of talks where I looked at the sort of the dominant writings or the guiding laws of the major faiths in the world. And I found that there were five things that they each had in common. And I thought that, you know, that's really interesting. I hear my mic clicking. Let me see if I can, it's probably not screwed in tight enough. There we go. We do this so that we can record this and put it on the internet. In fact, why don't we all say hi to everybody? Just say hi, hi. Because there's actually about 300 or 400 people that listen or watch this every week on the internet. So anyway, we were talking about Christmas. Here's the other thing that I want you to consider, and that is that every major faith around the world has a big party in the month of December. Think about that. I mean, we are raised and we are celebrating Jesus Christ's birthday, and that's our culture. That's what we're raised with. But let me just share with you some. From late November to early January, depending on the calendar, the Islamic people, the Muslims celebrate Maulid an-Nabi. And what that is, it's a celebration of the birth of the Prophet Muhammad. So what is their big party? What do they do? How do they celebrate? Well, they get together and they give gifts, but they don't give them to each other. They give them to charity. And then they have big parties out in the streets. So that's the Islamic faith. December the 8th, everybody knows what December the 8th day is, right? It's Bodhi Day, for crying out loud. That is the day that Siddhartha Gautama became the Buddha. That is the day that he became the enlightened one. After leaving his family in India and becoming an ascetic for 6 years, he sat on the ground and he meditated and he met the evil god Mara, basically what the Buddhists would call the devil. And Mara said, "Who are you? Who gives you the authority to be enlightened?" And he touches the ground saying, "The very existence gives me the right to be enlightened." So what do Buddhists do on Bodhi Day? Well, they get together as well. They string lights around a ficus tree instead of an evergreen tree, a ficus tree. But do you know what the lights mean? The lights symbolize something. The lights symbolize that every single person is a light and we're all connected by the same energy. Isn't that cool? And then they decorate their trees, but they only put 3 ornaments. And the ornaments represent the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Now, these are some of the words that you'll hear around here. Everybody looks at us and think, oh, you guys are Hindu. What we're doing basically on Sunday mornings, we call it Sangha, which is more of a Buddhist term, which means a gathering of spiritual practitioners. It means getting your spiritual community together. Buddha simply means the concept that a human being can be awake, can be enlightened. And Dharma meaning that each and every person on this planet has a purpose. So that's what they do, and they exchange gifts. Now, December 16th this year, just so happens, is Hanukkah. Hanukkah goes back to the 2nd century A.D., when after the Romans had destroyed the temple in Israel, the temple was rebuilt. Solomon's temple was destroyed. It was rebuilt. And then it was overrun by the Seleucids. They took it and basically had lots of nasty, terrible parties in the temple. It was really, really bad for a very, very long time. Well, then Judas Maccabee and other Israelites, other Jews, went in and they drove them out forcibly from the temple. And they were going to, see, that is their sacred space. That is their temple. And to Jews, that means a lot. I mean, to the ancient Israelites, they literally believed that God lived in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of Covenant. So basically, these people were throwing these terrible debauching parties and had overrun in where God was. It was terrible. And so when they got it back, they said, we must sanctify the temple. We must do it now. And they knew that they needed to keep the light going in the temple at all times. That meant that basically the temple was in, you know, in business, that God was there, the priest was there. So they went to light the lamp, and what they discovered was that the Seleucids had soiled or fouled all the olive oil, the sacred olive oil, except for enough for one night. And it would take 8 days to bless and purify and sanctify enough olive oil to keep it going. And yet they went on faith, and they lit one lamp, and it burned for 8 days. That's why Hanukkah lasts for 8 days. And so with Hanukkah, of course, there's a big exchange of gifts and things like that, and spinning the dreidel, and they light the menorahs, which represents that. Hindus, I have to tell you, I think this is probably the coolest celebration I've ever heard of. And I tried to do this with my family last year, and they thought it was really great until we did it. I'll explain it to you. It's called Pancha Ganapati, and it actually is a celebration of Lord Ganesha, the Hindu elephant god. There's several. Yeah, Ganesha's over there. With Pancha Ganapati, what happens is it's a 4-day celebration. On day one, everybody goes to their parents' house, just like you'd think here, or their grandparents' house. The whole family gets together, okay? You get up the next morning, you have a big breakfast, and then one by one, everybody goes around and apologizes to everybody in the family for anything that they may have said or done accidentally or intentionally during the last 12 months to upset or irritate that person. Oh, I'm just getting started, sweetie. Because that person then forgives you, and they go asking for forgiveness, apologizing. Everybody does it. Then you go again. You know what you get to do? You get to then tell that person everything you appreciate and love about them and why you're grateful to have them in your life and in your family. Then there's another big meal, and everybody goes out and writes prayers on the doorway, on the stoop by the doorway, so people come in. How many days did I say this celebration was? Did I just tell you about how many days? One day? Let's go on to day two. Day two, you do the exact same thing, but here's what you do. You go out to the neighbors, and you apologize for everything you may have said or done intentionally or accidentally. You give them a chance, and then they turn around. Oh, and by the way, then you exchange gifts, but you only exchange gifts after you've done all of this. They then do the same thing and tell you what they like and appreciate about you. Thus ends day two. Day three, you invite all your extended family in. Cousins, aunts, uncles, second, third. Same process. Day four, you do it with everyone in your community and everyone you do business with. You go down to your dry cleaner and you say, I'm sorry if I've offended or upset you in any way in the last year, and here's what I really, really like about you. Pancha Ganapati. Now, here's why my family hated it. Other than the groans that y'all did, I chose to announce this just as Marty was putting Christmas dinner on the table. And we sat down and tried to do this while the food is getting cold. So I suggest don't, if you're going to try something like this, you know, give yourself lots of time. But I'll tell you what, it was transformative, wasn't it? It was. We even did it with my dad at his house. So that's Hinduism. We've covered Buddhism. We've covered Hinduism. We've covered what else? Islam. We've covered Judaism. Well, now we move on to, well, I don't know, maybe Christmas? Christmas. I get to tell my favorite joke every Christmas. People ask me when I'm off speaking, what's your favorite joke? I said, I only get to tell it at Christmas and only to people who won't hate me for telling it. So here's the joke. The three wise men are walking into the stable, and one of them is very tall and bumps his head and goes, Jesus Christ! And Mary looks at Joseph and goes, that is a much better name than Edward. I do. I think that is a funny joke. Having been raised where I thought, having said that, a lightning bolt would have found me, I think it's so liberating to tell that joke. Because God has a sense of humor, for crying out loud. Yeah. So on December 25th, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Actually, he was the fulfillment of the Jewish prophecy. Most Jews didn't believe it at the time, and so Judaism split off into what has become Christianity, one of the largest religion in the world. December 25th is when we celebrate Jesus' birthday because we've seen his birth certificate. We know that's when he was born. Actually, it was highly unlikely that Jesus Christ was born. Yes, it was very likely he was born in March or June. And the reason they date it that way is because there were certain celestial events. They can track them back that would have very likely created a star at about the time that he would have been born, which would have been between 4 and 7 CE, not 0, because that was when King Herod, who is written about in the Bible, was actually ruling. I think we all know a lot about Christianity. I think we all know what we do. We get together with our families, drive each other crazy, buy each other gifts, run back and exchange them, and can't wait to do it next year. I hope that's not true for you. Now, here's the point of all this that I'm leading up to. All of this started with a celebration more than 10,000 years ago during the Neolithic Age by some of our great-great-great-great-great-great-great ancestors who on the coldest, darkest day of the year looked at each other, shortest day of the year, and said, you know what? Let's have a party. Let's have a party. And the winter solstice came from that. Most dates that people don't know, religions don't know, they associate somewhere around here. The reason we celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th was because of the winter solstice. And there was actually a Roman celebration on December 25th. It was very, very popular. The Romans were trying to bring in the pagans. Today, pagan's kind of a cool word, isn't it? You know, what bike gang are you in? Man, I'm in the pagans, you know? Pagan's a cool word. Back then, pagan meant a city dweller. It was somebody who had more than one god. Excuse me, not a city dweller, but a country dweller. It meant a rural person. Redneck. It's what it meant. And what happened was the monotheistic Christians wanted to bring the pagans in, so they didn't know when Jesus was born, so they said, wonder of wonders, it happened right at the time of this. And they're like, well, we're already having a party, let's invite Jesus to the celebration. There's something inside of our hearts and inside of our souls that says when times are darkest and coldest, the best thing we can do is celebrate. Our ancestors during the Neolithic Age actually believed that the sun, because what happens is the sun is directly overhead and then it moves more and more and more and more and more almost to the horizon. If you know, that's why the days get shorter in the wintertime. They literally believed that if they didn't have a big party, that the sun would just keep on going and wouldn't keep coming back. We now know that's true. But what we forget is the great metaphysical message behind this, and that is that when things seem darkest, we have to look for the light. This morning I was looking at Facebook, I don't know who posted it. It may have been one of you all, but I thought it was really cool. It was showing the relative sizes of celestial bodies, and it showed the Earth, the Hubble telescope. These are all Hubble telescope pictures of the Earth, you know, the Earth, the Moon, the Sun, the Earth, the Moon. And then it goes on showing all these various and how small and tiny our planet is. And we can look at that and go, you know, wow, very insignificant. Or it goes on to tell this story that there was a point where scientists discovered a black spot in space. They said, there's nothing there. We look at everything else, but there's absolutely nothing there. It's complete darkness. They thought they had found some sort of wormhole that could be seen or tunnel in space or something. What is this? And so this $100 million telescope was aimed at this dark spot. And they said, you're right, there's nothing there. And they said, but you know, it takes light a while to come through and there's celestial gases. So they left the telescope there, pointed at that dark spot for 4 months. At the end of 4 months, what they discovered in that dark, dark, dark spot was trillions of galaxies. Trillions. We can actually see them now. And you know what occurred to me? What's on the other side of those galaxies? We don't even have a telescope. We can barely see them. What's on the other side? All because they chose to look for light in darkness and to do it long enough until they saw it. Wherever you've got darkness right now, the light ain't gonna show up. You're the one that's gonna bring it. You have to bring it. And if you keep saying, nah, there's nothing but darkness there. There's nothing but darkness in this relationship. There's nothing but darkness in this body. There's nothing but darkness in this experience. There's nothing but darkness. I'm not even gonna look. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. He didn't say, don't seek. Because you ain't going to find. If we experience darkness, it's because we're looking for darkness. If we experience light, it's because we are looking for light. And even in the darkest of the dark, there's light. If we believe it, somebody had to first believe there was light there. Then they had to look. And then they had to do the hard part. Because any one of us can go, you know what, I'm going to look for light in this relationship. 5 minutes later, I'm going to kill him. Can we just keep looking for light until it shows up? Man, when we can do that, we can manifest anything. And you know what? It's already there. It's already there. We're just seeing it. So when you're celebrating in the middle of the cold Christmas, know that almost every other human being on the planet is or has done recently some other major spiritual celebration. And remember that you're connected just like those lights on the ficus tree. And remember to look for the light, especially with your families. As Ram Dass says, if you think you're enlightened, go spend the weekend with your family. So why don't we seal that in prayer? Grab somebody's hand as we close. Infinite loving Spirit, God, the first words according to the Jewish Bible that you spoke were, let there be light. As we look for light in darkness, we find it. God, give us the strength to look long enough until it shows up. God, give us the faith and the patience to look and to believe and to know, for that is what you would have us to do. We are the bearers of the light. We are the ones we have been looking for. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.